This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Yes, indeed. We're back. How you doing, Mike?
Well, you know, it's like I thought we were in spring today.
The sun was beautiful, shining.
I mean, it was cold, but it was, you know, it's gorgeous. The sun was shining. I thought, man, that's what the sky looks like. It's actually blue.
Yeah, I was in the break room earlier, and the sun beats right through. It was nice and warm.
Yeah. I wanted to go swimming, but the river's too high.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, you might hit some of those rocks.
Yeah, well, the rocks are, you can't see them, but they're right under the surface.
They're right there.
They're waiting to ding you if you try to go down.
Try it.
Yeah. Well, I got some interesting things I think I can say today. I'm no political stuff. maybe some a little bit.
Okay.
But anyway, thank you for listening. And this is the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. And if you have questions about your lawn, your garden, your trees, your pruning, your whatever, you can call and ask whatever question you'd like, and I will give you an answer that is actually true. And the number is 673-4464. 673-4464. Any question. Doesn't matter what I'm talking about. You can interrupt my flow of speech. It's okay. But the answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind.
Oh.
And the question is, what's blowing? Well, it's leaves.
Oh, yes.
All over.
Yeah.
They've fallen on your yard and especially your lawn and your car and your whatever. But, don't rely on natural wind to get them away. Because they won't, the natural wind will blow a few of them away, but you're going to have to get out there with your leaf blower.
And do some labor.
Labor work, and direct those leaves into a huge pile. And so what can you do with a very large pile of leaves?
Burn them. You
burn them, that's one thing, but before you burn them, small children love to jump into them, you know. So make sure there's no children in them before you start burning them. but burning, you know, that they make a nice fire. But best of all, you can turn them into compost and make a nice compost pile for future vegetable gardens, those kinds of things. And I guess the easiest thing here in Roseburg is to pile them into the street in front of your house and let the city come along with their trucks and pick them up, and which is, you know, seems like that's pretty good. And then the city takes them to the county dump, landfill,
right?
That is.
No, it's the dump.
The dump. And the leaves rot and decompose into a very fine compost up there at the landfill. Yep. And then they turn around and they sell the compost to gardeners the following year.
Oh, those tricky little buzzards.
Yeah, so why don't you skip the middleman and keep them in a corner of your yard, and you can have your own free compost in the years to come.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good stuff. Really, really is good stuff, and it's full of nutrition and will make your things grow. And if you do the work of leaf removal yourself, get a good leaf rake, because our great political minds, try this one out, are trying to ban gas leaf blowers.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Oh, yeah. And California is hot on that trail. And, of course, then
of course they are.
Oregon and Washington.
But they think bees are endangered.
Yeah, get stung by one. That one's endangered. But these characters, these political guys, they think that the electric blowers are cleaner and are not polluting. Well, okay. And they are also less powerful, and the job takes more time. And
so that makes up for the alleged non-pollution.
I guess. And then the question is, will there be electricity to run them?
Yep.
When all the dams that generate electricity are removed for the fish to swim upstream. So that's just food for thought. Think about it.
Plus all the cars now needing electricity.
Yes, yes. Where's it going to come from?
That's right.
It ain't coming from windmills or solar panels for all the cars in the United States. But anyway, getting through that part. Raking leaves.
Yeah, we did pretty good without being political.
Well, yeah, kind of minor. But raking leaves takes some effort and is good exercise. So when you're looking for leaf rakes, get a great big one. That way it can go faster. You got to be strong. It'll make some muscles, but don't worry about. And then there's another option. You can mow them. Just go right over like you're mowing a lawn, but mow the leaves. And what happens is that mower crunches them up into tiny, tiny small pieces. Yep. And then you can bag them and then put them on your compost pile, and they'll rot and turn into compost much faster. Quicker. Because there's no body to them. On our landscape maintenance crew, when we do several of the commercial establishments with a lot of trees, what my guys do, they blow the leaves out into the parking lot. Then we take our mower with the big box on it and mow them and sucks them right up into the mower box.
Clever.
Yeah. And, I didn't even tell them to do that. They just figured that out on theirself. Yeah. Okay.
Whoa.
And it works. And hey. It doesn't pick up every particle, but it picks up 90% of it.
Hey, that works.
And then they can take it over and dump it in a compost pile or dump it in the truck or the trailer or something like that. And the parking lot's clean.
Hey.
Yeah.
Nice and easy.
You can't do it on a gravel parking lot, though. You got to do it on a paved paved parking lot. Just remember that.
You might injure yourself.
Yeah, you might. You might. But that's the easiest and quickest way to get them off your lawn is to mow them. Mow them and bag them, and then you just put the empty the bag on your compost pile, because those mower blades will chop them up into very small pieces, and just like they'll chop your fingers up and stick them in there. So, and they're gonna compost and decompose a whole lot faster when they're smaller. Or the third option or fourth option here is just let them rot on the lawn over the winter, and what happens, they do break down. And they will add nutrients to the grass. And next spring, when you mow the lawn for the first time, they'll disappear into the lawn. It's that easy.
And I was thinking that was Dad's method, just not right, the leaves.
Yeah.
I always thought it killed the grass. But.
Well, it won't kill it. It'll yellow it up a little bit. But over the winter, the grass kind of yellows anyway. So it doesn't make any difference. And then when it's mowable in the spring, like on a 60-degree day and it hasn't rained for a week, get out there with your mower and you chop them up, and they can just disintegrate into the lawn, and their actual compost and
do their thing
and nutrition for the grass roots. There's the push on organic fertilizing and things like that. That fits that program.
So Dad wasn't too far off.
No, he was way ahead of his time.
Or lazy.
Yeah, well, one of the two. But it's okay.
Sorry, Dad, you can't hear me now.
But. Well, you never know. Oh, gosh. But if you do it that way, that's, like I say, it's less work for you and more natural nutrition for the grass. And here's a cool one.
Okay.
Portland and Multnomah County.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Are already working on banning leaf blowers, as well as 300 other jurisdictions across the country. They already have restrictions on what time of day, what type of blower can be operated, and the noise level, et cetera, et cetera. So I had to ask myself, well, what are they going to ban next? Lawnmowers? Because they make a horrendous amount
noise.
Let's say that you have a large yard with a huge lawn, and a push mower will be a clean machine.
Right.
But the plus side of that equation is that you can give up your YMC membership because of all the exercise you're going to get.
And all the frustration.
Yeah, and you can use that extra cash for better leaf rakes. And that's good. But here's the topper. The California Air Resources Board stated that operating a gas-powered leaf blower for an hour is equivalent to driving a Toyota Camry for 1,100 miles.
Hmm.
They compared 1 hour of leaf blowing to driving a Toyota Camry for 1,100 miles. So, yeah, right.
I'm just shaking my head. I don't know.
I know. And that's a quote out of... So you be the judge. You be the judge, and you can... Do whatever you want with your leaves, but...
What has that got to do with anything?
I don't know. I really, truly don't know, because we're going to have a cleaner planet. Who knows?
And we're still in extreme drought.
Yeah. Well, you know. Do we have a break?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. I thought you were rubbing your chin like I was.
No.
Okay.
No, not yet. We got about 3 minutes.
Okay. Okay, here's another idea for a leaf disposal. If you spread the leaves in your planting beds, you know, here's your not your lawn now, but you got your beds with your bark mulch on there, and you take your leaves and just kind of spread them over the top of the bark, mm-hmm. Well, they disintegrate over the winter. They break down, and they add, you know, another layer of weed prevention, and they add nutrition to what you have already. So that's a good thing. And then you could also put 2 or 3 inches of bark mulch over the top of the leaves that have been broken down, and you have added nutrition.
Yeah.
And you're also going to be saving on water, because it's not going to need a whole lot of water because it's so well insulated with bark mulch and other organic materials.
We had a phone call.
Hello.
Hey there.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on the air.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
This is Keith.
Hi, Keith.
I had a question about my raised bed of chrysanthemums. I got a whole bunch of them. They were beautiful for, you know, like a month.
Uh-huh.
They're all dying off. And do I cut them off? Do I just let them wilt? What do I do with them now?
Well, are there any blooms at all left?
On a couple of the plants, most of them are all brown headed.
Okay. Well, wait till they die down naturally, and then cut them off, the stems a couple inches above the ground, and they'll come back next year.
And they'll come back from that.
Yes.
Okay.
They will.
Yeah. I know they don't winter. And so I just wanted to, I thought you did something like that. That's very helpful. Thank you very much.
You're sure welcome. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
All righty. Now's a good time for a break, eh?
Okay, let's take a break.
All right, what's our phone number, Mike?
673-4464.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Hey, we're back. We're almost to 50 degrees there. It says mostly sunny and 49.
Well, when I parked my truck out in the parking lot, it was 52.
Oh, okay. So
because I picked a nice sunny spot.
There you go.
There's no shade out there anyway.
You took the last one.
I did. But I thought, 52 degrees, man. I mean, this is like spring.
Summer.
It was great. Yeah. I loved it. Anyway, I've been talking about leaves and leaf removal and...
banning leaf blowers.
And the government wanting to ban leaf blowers for whatever concocted...
Whatever they can think of.
...thought process they're dealing with. Who knows? I don't know. You know, common sense is not in their,
no.
Not in their book,
nope,
at all.
Nope, nope, nope.
But, you know, when you're doing this, spreading the leaves on your bark mulch and in your beds and things like that for extra mulch and extra nutrition, you can do the same thing and use the same process on your vegetable garden. Once your vegetables are, you're done, I mean, like this time of year, you're done with and you got leaves all over the place, hey, pile them on your vegetable garden. You know, put them on, 6 inches, 8 inches deep, and by next spring, when you go to work the ground or till it up or however you do it, they just disintegrate, and they're part of the soil structure.
They're back to Mother Earth.
Exactly. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's non-polluting, and you've got extra nutrition for just a little bit of your labor.
And I don't think the government can ban that.
I don't know. They're going to try to ban leaf fall, I think. You know? You cannot fall from that tree, or we will find you.
Well, actually, I hope they do that. Find a solution to it. Never mind.
Okay, well, I'll get into fertilizer.
All right.
Now I'm going to switch to regular commercial fertilizer stuff.
Okay.
Fertilizing this time of year has a good long-term effect on your lawn, your shrubs, your trees, and things like that. And I'll explain the long-term thing here in a minute. A granular fertilizer will slowly reach the root system this time of year because it's damp, and whatever rain hits it, it's going to break down. And as it continues to rain and for probably at least two more months, maybe three more months, hopefully, that fertilizer gets down into the root system. And a lot of folks think, oh, my gosh, that's too soon for the plants to get the fertilizer. Mm-hmm. Well, what happens, it's interesting, is that the root systems of the shrubs and trees and things like that, they can store it in the roots themselves. And when the weather really gets warmer and it's time for them to grow, that's when they push that fertilizer up through the system.
Wow.
They're a lot smarter than we are.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. And there's been so it's safe. It's safe to go ahead and fertilize, and maybe a little bit of it will release, especially in like lawns and stuff. But it's not going to trigger any new growth because the plants are dormant, and you know that's they're in hibernation. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
However, like I said, the roots can store that fertilizer until spring, and when it warms up, say in April or even maybe March, if
June.
June. Yeah, gosh. the plants are open to use that fertilizer. And then you'll see the results when it does warm up. You go, you know, I fertilized in November and I waited, and then all of a sudden in April, boy, those plants look good. They're green, they're lush, they're growing, and it's because you gave it that fall fertilization.
I think you did that with my vine from Hades.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
do you still have it?
I do. It's still in the ground. It's still there. It hasn't.
What
died
about
yet.
The little one I gave you in the pot?
That's the one I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. Do you plant it in the ground?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, you're a glutton for punishment.
She's a growing.
You'll be out there mowing that once a week.
Oh, the gosh. Mother plant came back too.
Of course. And, you know, and I repeat a lot of this advice simply because, you know, some people miss the info the first time around. But, you know, now's a good time to look critically at your shrubs and trees and determine if they need pruning, if they need fertilizing. It's okay. And if the shrubs and are too large, too close together, or they're climbing on your roof, you know, cut them down to size. You're not going to hurt them. I mean, you're going to invigorate them, for crying out loud. Because
you turn them on.
Because the root system stays the same, but if it only has to work for half a plant, it's going to come up like a rocket ship, you know, in the spring. Just whoom, and then you're going to be pruning again just to do that. But if they are too large and, you know, we as people sometimes forget, oh, yeah, I'll just let that thing grow for a while. And then, you know, 3 years goes by and it's trying to get in your upstairs bedroom through a window.
Knock.
Yeah, hi, I'm that vine you planted down there at the foundation. I just wanted to see how you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, but cut them down to size. They'll be okay. There's no problem. They don't get hurt. They don't die. And they're going to be more attractive, and they're going to be healthier, you know, come the next year, next spring. I mean, that's, we got another call?
We do have another call.
Well, good.
Hey, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
I don't know if you remember me or not. Didn't you have the Winter Green Nursery there at between Winston and Dillard?
Yes, I did until a week ago.
Well, when I came to Oregon in 1950, I was 14. The first job I had was at Moyer's.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great.
His old house is still there, isn't it?
Well, the Moyer's old house down by the river is, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I'm kind of goofy because I've got shingles right now.
Uh-huh.
And but what I wanted to ask you was about these weed torches.
Yeah.
Are they effective?
Yes, they are. I love them. I've got one, and they're good for, you know, oftentimes there's a lot of small weeds that you can't actually put your hands on and pull up because they're too small.
Sure.
It works great on them. You know, they come up in cracks in your concrete or pavement,
yeah,
or, you know, in places that you can't get to. And, you know, and it takes a quick shot and they disintegrate. And yeah, we use them all. We use them a lot. We do that.
Well,
a lot.
They have different sizes, don't they?
Oh yeah, yeah. They got the homeowner special, and then they got the commercial, which is a little bit bigger and a little bit hotter and a little bit fiercer.
Well, the reason I ask is I've got in front of my property, I've got about almost 200 feet of multiflora rose.
Uh huh.
Big mistake to plant that. Oh, that stuff is horrible. Anyway, the problem is this row is about 15 feet from my drain field from my septic tank.
Uh-huh.
And I would like to get rid of those roses and actually plant some native thing in there.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about vine maple, but I'm sure that the roots would get into my drain field.
So how far away is the drain field from where you want to plant?
Well, it's about 15 feet.
Mm-hmm. Well, the vine maple won't get there real quick. They're a pretty hardy plant, and they're not water seekers, essentially.
Really?
I mean, yeah, they grow in clear cuts on south slopes where they don't get very much water, and they grow along streams. But most of them that you'll find are growing in clear cuts and up in the forest, not near a water source.
Well, I have to kill these
roses
first. And yeah, what I was thinking of, if I took one of those torches and burned them,
that would do the trick.
I burned one just to check it last year, and it kind of came back a little, but not much.
Well, you know, sometimes you need a second shot at any of that. You know, whether you sprayed them or burned them, you know,
I wouldn't spray. I don't believe in spraying.
Yeah, but my example is that if you did spray them, there would still be some residual action the following year, and usually a second spray knocks them out. But the burning would work the same way. You burn them, you make sure you get a good burn on them, and, you know, just torch them until they turn to dust. And then if anything appears the next year, you go ahead and hit them again, and they don't have the energy or the root system or the oomph to come back a third time, usually.
So you think the vine maple would be all right then, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I believe vine maple would do well for you there.
I thought about planting snowberry bushes. They're a beautiful little bush.
Oh, yeah, that would work as well. Again,
but
that's a very...
very high.
No.
And the reason I had this thing here was kind of privacy. You know, I live on Highway 138,
uh-huh,
right on the road, so...
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, it'd probably take 2 years to kill them, though, huh?
Yeah, it might. It might.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I wouldn't want to plant anything in there before they're gone because...
Definitely not.
Oh, man.
Definitely not.
I've been pruning them every year for about 15 years now.
You're tired of it, aren't you?
Well, if a guy had a chipper, you know, you could chip the stuff up.
Yeah.
But I don't, so...
Yeah. Burn them. Burn, baby, burn.
Burn them.
So, you think just a large... torch that you could, let's say, buy at I was thinking about, I bought a small one, but it doesn't work very good.
Well, you might check out the rental places too. They might have some to rent.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Mike.
You're sure welcome. Thanks for the call.
And you know, I'll never forget Mr. Moyer.
No, great guy, great man.
You know, this when I came here, this was almost a paradise. Mm-hmm. And this population, as it exploded here, has just changed everything. Yeah, you're talking about the fact that they're outlawing all this equipment. Well, how many of them can you run?
I don't know. they're a different type of folks.
Well, the population.
Yeah, I know.
Nobody figures that in. You never hear population problems mentioned at all anymore.
I know.
And it's the problem.
Yes.
Okay, Mike, I'll talk to you later.
Well, thank you for the call. We'll see you.
All right, yep. Thank you.
Bye.
All righty, we had another call coming in, but you can call back now.
Yeah, it's 673-4464. Any questions, fair game, I'll tell you that. And if I don't know the answer, I'll just make one up.
No, there you go.
No, I don't.
And then move on.
I don't make anything up. I tell you the truth.
Well,
every
you
time.
Are a politician at heart.
No way. No way. Oh, gosh. I was talking about, before the last phone call, I was talking about pruning your stuff, your cutting them down to size so you can keep them. You can keep them reasonable, and the thing is, you got to do follow-ups every year. But the follow-ups are a lot easier because you're not cutting so much. It's that initial cutting that will wear you out and say, "Well, I shouldn't have planted them stupid plants in the first place." But the plants weren't stupid. Just remember that. And
yeah, who planted them?
Yeah, just think of that. But at any rate. Once you've pruned them and got them to size, then the next spring they're going to be growing, blooming, etc. And then if they're a blooming plant, after the blooms drop off and get done blooming, that's when you prune them again. But the job is so much smaller and so much quicker, and it's a heck of a lot easier to keep them that way. And the other alternative is to yank them all out, but I don't like to do that. So, we got a call?
No, we got a break.
Oh, a break. We'll be back.
All right. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Hey, that's us, Mike.
Are we back on?
We are.
Okay, if you have a question, 673-4464, and we can get on it, okay?
All right.
Now, I was talking about the pruning and all that in the last segment, and if you are hesitant about doing your entire yard and if you don't have any experience in it, but you want it done and you're not going to pay for it to be done, and you've got a lot of shrubs and you're going, gee whiz, how am I going to tackle that? Well, just pick a few of the worst plants and work on them and see how quickly you can
experiment with them.
Exactly. Yeah. Not only cut the tops, but you want to thin the interior branches a little bit so there's air circulation and less places for bugs to hide, and it works real well. What?
You got a phone call.
Another phone call. All right. This is phone call day.
In fact, there's another one coming in. Hey there. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hey, Dale, Tom Nelson. I just wanted to...
Hey.
Wish Mike a great happy retirement, and we ought to figure out how to, if I retire next year, maybe we can take our radio shows and syndicate them and go on the road. And
oh yeah, just what I want.
love it.
So Mike, what are you going to do with your time?
I'm going to maintain my licensing and all that, and I'm just going to be a consultant only. And a planner, landscape designer only, that's not as strenuous nor is it as consistent as actual putting jobs together.
Well, I think the older we all get in life, is that's the occupation we can do the most and the best is to be a consultant for whatever we want to consult
exactly.
people to do, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You got it, Tom. I understand that.
Look at Dale.
Yeah.
I turned to him for a lot of information. You're gonna still continue the show and
I'm debating that at this point. I'd like to. There are some days I'd like to. I enjoy doing this. This is fun. And if I can impart some information to folks out there that need it, hey, that's a good thing. So
you guys put together a great comedy show. Well,
thank you.
Thank you. That's a compliment.
Okay. Hey, well, Legion Field looks great. Well, wait a minute. It's not real grass, I guess.
No, okay, it isn't.
Well, never mind.
We haven't mowed it for 3 years.
Okay, good luck to you.
Okay, thank you, Tom, for the phone call. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All righty.
That was a surprise.
It was. It was.
Oh, so Tom actually listens to the show. That's
he does.
Good. That's good.
He does.
All right.
Yeah. He tells me every now and then.
Does he?
Yeah. Good guy.
And we have a comedy. Is this a comedy show or a gardening show? I'm not quite sure.
Oh, well, never mind.
Well, you know, like I was saying before I was rudely interrupted by Tom, was just to pick out a few of your... old, ugly shrubs and go ahead and cut them back and whack them back and watch what happens next spring. They'll come shooting out like rocket ships and they'll do really well for you. We've got another call?
We do have another call. Hi there. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
I'd like to talk to Mike about a couple of things. Number one is I've got a big aloe plant that I'm really proud of. He's done beautiful this summer. What my question is, I've just been wrapping him up with some, you know, just some cloth. Can I put him in my shed in the winter? But there's no light in the shed.
Nah, if there's no artificial light would help, but if there's no light in the shed, I would not do that.
What would you suggest I do with him?
You can't put him in your home somewhere, but near a window or something like that.
Well, I guess I could. I don't know how well they would do in the house. I suppose.
Oh, they do
okay.
wonderfully in the house. I mean,
they do.
Yes. I have them in my house. Have had them for years.
Okay. The second question is, I just picked you up a few minutes ago, but you said you were talking about pruning. I'm not talking about pruning trees. What I want to know is how far should I cut my hydrangeas back?
Well, at our nursery, we have in our landscaping around the building, we've had these hydrangeas in there for 20 plus years. And then in the summer, when we prune them down to about 12 to 18 inches all the way across. And they come back and they get up to about 4 feet tall and about 6 feet wide every year. So,
right.
And they bloom. They just bloom to beat the band for months and months and months. So pruning them is good for them. They love it. It invigorates them, and they'll do a lot better for you.
About 12 to 14 inches.
Yeah, 12 to 18. You know, depends on what size it is right now. And then you can thin, if it has too many branches, you can thin some of the branches out to and leave some better ones so that they grow better, have more room to grow.
Thank you, sir. Like I said, I will, because it's supposed to get cold, I think I better bring that that aloe in the house. Then.
Yeah, I would suggest that you do that, yes. Otherwise, it's going to be toast.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Right. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
All right, that was it. Oh, we have another call. Let's grab it. Go like this.
Man.
Hey, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hey, Mike, I'm just calling to congratulate you
on retirement.
I'm hoping to do the same in March. I have called in several times, but I don't really have a question. I just want to say that I appreciate you. It's a great show. And, you know, the older we get, the more we want things to stay the same.
That's true, yes.
I'm hoping that you'll stay on the air. and I'm going to go prune my hydrangeas 8 to 12 inches, for sure.
Good. Whack them back.
Okay.
You can't hurt them. And thank you for the compliment. I'm glad you enjoyed the show.
Best wishes to you. Hey, Mike, I do have a really quick question. I'm looking at my yard. I just pulled up. But I have ivy just coming up out of nowhere. I didn't plant it. It's the green hardy ivy.
Oh, of course.
And I'm actually having someone come pull it all out. Do you have any idea where that came from?
None whatsoever. I mean,
it's just taking over.
Do you have neighbors close by?
No, not really. I have peach trees next.
So, a bird could have
know.
A bird could have brought a seed or something, and it actually lived and grew and then put on this extensive root system and starts popping up everywhere. But keep on top of it.
Oh man, and so I need to get the roots out, right?
Yes, you do, because just cutting them down won't work. They'll just get.
Oh,
get
my.
Better.
Oh, it's going to be such a chore.
Yep.
I might hire that one out anyway. Well, I appreciate you.
Thank you.
You have a good winter.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right,
bye-bye.
Thank you. That sounds like my vine from Hades.
Yeah, he's got this vine that grows 6 feet a minute.
No, it does, I swear. Heat, cold, freezing weather, whatever.
It just grows.
It does.
Oh, gosh. I don't even know where I'm at now.
And you said you hadn't seen it either before when I gave you a sample of it.
Right. No, I could not identify it.
Yeah.
I mean, I even looked in my weed book just to see if I,
see if it was a weed.
Yeah. Well, it is a weed.
It is.
It's probably some exotic flower in Borneo.
Or China.
Yeah, it could be. You never know.
You can't. Never mind.
Shh. But, oh, gosh, where in the heck am I? I got these notes here in front of me.
Let's get out of the weeds.
Okay. But, I was talking about the pruning and trying to wrap up the pruning part. If you have some really ugly shrubs and they're just not doing well, whack them back. Mm. And the gentleman that just called earlier about how much to prune a hydrangea, well, like I told him, we prune ours down to 12 to 18 inches every year, and every year they grow back to about 4 feet tall by about 6 feet wide.
Wow.
And every year they get bigger. By a little bit, and their leaves are huge, and the flowers are huge, and it just blooms and blooms and blooms. So pruning is good. It's invigorating for the plant, but once you start, you gotta keep up the program, otherwise they get out of control again.
They come right back.
Oh yeah, and I've never heard of ivy just appearing in somebody's yard like the lady just was telling us.
Like,
but it's a weed. Really, it's a weed, and if one piece drops on the ground, it'll root. It's like it's like your plant that you've got at your place.
The vine,
yes. Oh golly.
Hey, should we take a break?
Okay.
And what is our phone number, Mike?
673-4464. And thanks for all the calls today. It's been great.
Yeah, keep them coming. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Oh, can you hear yet?
No, my eardrums are gone since you blasted them out there.
I did have it up a little loud.
Yeah, just a little, right.
Moving into the home stretch.
Yeah.
Lines are open.
Anyway, thank you all for the calls. I appreciate it. And I'm glad you're enjoying the show. And like I said earlier, I enjoy doing it because it... I try to think of different subjects that are every week that are what we're experiencing here in Douglas County as far as growth or dormancy or whether it's a vegetable garden. I try to make them timely in that manner. But you know, there's so much there's so much information out there on plants and gardening and landscaping. And I mean, there's books and books. I got a library of the choke a horse just on all one is on Japanese maples, and it's you know, it's an amazing book, and it was written by a gentleman who lived here, J.D. Vertrees, and has color photos of all these varieties. I think there's 160 varieties.
Wow, cool.
Of Japanese maples, just in his book.
Jeez.
I mean, there's many more varieties, but just in his book with color photos and descriptions and things like that. And when you start getting into landscaping and horticulture, you could fill the Douglas County Library with the books that are available on plants and soils and landscaping and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It'll boggle your mind.
I mean, it already is.
Yeah, it boggled mine for a long time. But anyway, get back to this pruning thing here.
Yes, sir.
And just remember, anytime you prune, it's going to lead to a healthier plant, period. It's going to bloom better, grow better, because that root system is not working real hard. And if you prune it down 75%, you're not pruning the roots. The roots are the same size as the 100% plant. So they're going to be pushing a lot of material into new growth, and the new growth is going to be healthier, faster, bigger, and it's kind of like you're creating your own yard nightmare because when you do it, you got to keep doing it. But the plus part is it's healthier, it's better, it's prettier, it blooms longer, it blooms bigger, more colorful. I mean, all those are factors that come from pruning. So keep that in mind.
So it may not all be bad. It's just
no, it ain't all bad.
Unless you have a vine.
There are some vines on this earth that if we could destroy, we'd be better off on. You know, but
Lord have mercy.
Yeah, exactly. Jeez. But it and as far as size goes, it depends on, you know, where it's located, against a fence, against a house, in the middle of the yard, something in the middle of the yard. It can get bigger, it can get larger, and take up more space
very quickly.
But those that are foundation plantings, or those that are planted along fence lines, things like that, you want to keep them at a size that's controllable and doesn't push your fence over, or doesn't run into your basement or something like that, you know, if it's too close or do any damage to your foundation.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
No. And then you've got annuals and you've got perennials, and they may need some light pruning from time to time, several times during the growing season. But like on a perennial, the more you prune it, the more it blooms. And if you prune it lightly, and they don't really need heavy pruning unless they get too large and out of shape and maybe have some dead stuff in it, then you can prune it down to about 3 inches off the ground, and it will come back gangbusters. I mean, that's all there is to it. One plant on one of the banks I take care of, is Banner Bank in Sutherland, and I landscaped that thing 3 different times from 3 different owners. But over the years, it was I put some flowers in there, and I saw this geranium, and it was kind of a variegated leaf geranium with an orange-red flower. And it's supposed to be tough, but geraniums are annuals. They're not perennials. So I put it in the flower bed almost next to the front, one of the entries of the bank there.
Yeah.
And it was small, you know, it came out of a 4-inch pot, and I wanted to see how good it was, see how tough it was. It was a test. And it grew pretty good the first year, and then we had winter come on, and I checked it out, and it all died down. And I thought, okay. Well, the following spring, I didn't check it anymore that winter because it's gone, right?
Yeah.
But the following spring, about April, I was inspecting the plant materials and stuff, and I saw this geranium, and it had come back, and it was twice the size as it was the previous year. And it's been in there maybe 10 years now, and it is, I saw it yesterday, and it's probably 2 feet tall by about 3 or 4 feet wide.
Wow, I go there a lot.
And the one in Winston, Banner Bank.
Oh, I thought you said Sutherland.
I might have said Southern, but I didn't mean Sutherland.
Winston, Banner Bank. Because I was trying to place it. I hadn't seen.
It just comes back, and it's in full bloom, been in full bloom since early spring, and it still has blooms on it now.
Nice.
And that's what pruning does.
Alive and well.
It makes it better, prettier, healthier all the time. So don't be afraid. And remember, there are many books. You know, I talk about it, but there are many books out there that you can buy at the big box stores and stuff like that. And there's some that are just on pruning, and they'll go through all the types of different plants, not all of them, but, you know,
yeah,
a fair sample. And it shows you before and after photos side by side. Here's a shrub that's got, you know, 400 branches on it, and here's what it looks like when it's pruned.
Right.
And it only has 10 branches on it, but it's more picturesque, it's mm-hmm. more beautiful, and it's more healthy.
Healthy.
And,
yeah.
And it doesn't kill them. And you can thin them, you can prune them down, and there's a lot of different ways to do it. And one of the outdoor fuchsias that I got many, many years ago, I planted it at Umpqua Bank in Canyonville by one of their entries. And it was a test plot. And it had beautiful reddish-orange blooms on it, and it was doing really well. I planted it in the spring, did really well, and then the winter, it died right down. I thought, okay. Mm. So the following spring, when I was down there, I saw little tiny buds coming out of the ground where that was. Well, in about 2 weeks, it was about 8 to 10 inches tall, and there were twice as many stems on it than there was the previous year.
Wow.
Now, it is, if you went down and saw it, it's probably a good 3.5 feet tall by about 2 feet wide, and has literally hundreds of orange red blooms on it. It's gorgeous.
Nice.
Yeah. So
nice.
Pruning is good. It won't hurt a thing. And I think we're out of time.
Well, we got 5 seconds.
Oh, 5 seconds? Well, thank you for listening, and thanks for the calls. And I'll be back next week. I'm not quitting. I'm not walking out the door for a while. So
you may have a special guest next week.
I'm trying, but she's my new owner.
Yeah, come on. Don't be shy.
Don't be shy, Jennifer. We'll get you on.
We don't bite.
No, we're friendly.
All right. See you next week, Mike.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.